Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. You are on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about it, Tuesday Church Folk Day. And, we talked about a lot of stuff yesterday, y'all. We talked about the inmates who shared some of their experiences when they were behind bars. And I got to tell you, it definitely gave a new perspective to what life is like behind bars. And, you know, we talk about crime here all the time on It's Due Time. We talk about, you know, does the punishment fit the crime? We talk about, you know, some people who have been sentenced to death. We talk about those who should meet Big Bubba. We talk about this all the time. And, you know, when you hear the account of when these individuals were inside, it really just had a different look, it had a different sound. Really reading, you know, what some of these people were saying, it just, believe it or not, you kind of felt sorry for them. And yes, they put themselves there. Yes, they, you know, some of them were repeat offenders, as you could hear in what they were saying. And they went back, even though they were able to tell certain stories of woe. You know, nobody talked about this place like it was good. Nobody talked about this place like it was good. Even our own Pastor Jeff, you know, talked yesterday about, you know, his experience even during a short stint. And you'd say to yourself, you know, well, y'all should definitely not have any desire to go back. Because there's no way in the world I would experience this stuff here and go back. It's just no. Well, it really doesn't make any sense when you're talking about that flashy. You know, they always talk about that flashy Brooklyn preacher. You know him. Yep, we talked about him quite a bit over here, that Lamar Miller Whitehead from Brooklyn. Yeah, that flashy preacher who was robbed, so he says, you know, the people, you know, of that $1 million worth of jewelry while service was going on. Yes, 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 yes. Remember him? Yeah, yeah, I know you remember him. Well, you would think that considering he spent 5 years behind bars, that he would toe the line, especially after you hear what these other people had to say about the life. Well, he didn't. He has been found guilty of bilking a parishioner, an older woman, out of $90,000 in her retirement savings after he promised her he would find her a home and invest the rest of her money into his real estate business. He's been found guilty after he was trying to strong arm a man, yes, $500,000. He was trying to force this man to give him money to invest in his real estate business. Yeah. You know, he's living in this $1.6 million home out in Jersey. He drives, you know, these luxury cars, one being a Rolls Royce. You know, all of this so that he could live a flashy lifestyle. Now, I understand that 5 years may have, you know, been on a little hard side. But again, would I want to come out and spend my time just like committing crime as though I was never going to be found out? Well, you know what? A lot of people say that it's very easy to rip off people. All you got to do is become a pastor. And get people to believe who you are. And thus, you know, you can get people to give you money. And it's sad. It's really, really, really sad, you know, that this was the direction that he went in. Because now he's been found guilty. And if you listen to Pastor Jeff, who said he followed this story, you know, as he was going back and forth to court, you know, this Bishop Whitehead was going back and forth to court, that it was grueling. You know, he did lose some weight, because I tell you, he's looking thin in these pictures, thinner than he was. Well, I don't feel sorry for you, because again, after hearing what these people, how they describe what, you know, what it looks like on the inside, what you experience on the inside, you spend 5 long years there, you come out and you decide to do this stuff all over again, then you get exactly what you deserve. You get especially when you do this under the guise of being a servant of God. Because, see, people love this church hurt business. So all they need is an excuse not to, you know, go back to church anymore. And voila, there you have it. So, you know what? If that's what you do, then that's what you do. Go right on ahead. So I think it's July 1st that he, you know, he's going to be going, yep, July 1st, he'll be going to court to get that sentence in. And we will be standing by God's spares to see what time he's going to get. I just got a hit from someone yesterday after the show. You know, he's facing some time. You know, he's facing up to 45 years. And we'll see how much they give it. You know, how much they give him. I tell you, after what I heard yesterday, I wouldn't want to spend 45 minutes up in there. So, no matter what kind of time he you know, he's sentenced to. That's going to be some time. So, you know what? Keep his daughter lifted in prayer, because as we were told yesterday, you know, they're teasing her and, you know, see, we don't think about all this kind of stuff. We don't think about all of this stuff. They're teasing her about her dad and, you know, the children have to endure whatever it is we have to endure. So, you know, when we are making our decisions, it's not just about us. We got to think about them children. Got to think about those children. All right? All right. Well, that's how we spent our Tuesday. That's how we spent our Tuesday. Well, today is, come on, say it with me, Wow Wednesday. And you know how it goes down here. Wow. All right now. You know how we do it. It's in the middle of the week. And God has been good. Despite it all, God has been good to each and every one of us. So, we're going to go ahead and get this day started. So, go ahead and grab that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere. Because we will be right back.
Traumatic brain injury, or TBI, is an invisible wound and one of the main injuries for troops wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan. Naval medical facilities are taking time this month to promote research and awareness of TBI.
We're finding out that the brain, once injured, takes a very different way of healing than we're accustomed to seeing, like if you injured your arm or if you had surgery or something. And so we're still understanding that some of the injuries that the brain sustains, we have to be more mindful about how we try to help people recover from those injuries. And it's still, you know, it's still a work in progress because there's so much that we don't understand.
To learn more about TBI, visit the Navy Medicine website. From the Defense Media Activity, I'm Petty Officer Tyrell Morris.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday, y'all. Amen. God has been so great and so gracious to us as he has allowed us to enter into his day. Yeah. We're in the middle of the week. And we're in our right frame of mind. So we have so much to give God thanks for. All right. So without further ado, let's grab our girl Vivian for the socially conscious segment. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor?
I am well, thank you. How are you? You know, we missed you last week. You weren't feeling well. How you doing this week?
Feeling much better, thank you.
All right, amen and amen. You know what I always like to ask you? What you got for us today?
All right, today on Socially Conscious, we are starting off hot out in Louisiana, as they have just become the 28th state in the nation to pass into law the right of its residents to carry concealed firearms without a permit and without training. They're saying this law comes just 57 days after Governor Landry was sworn into office. So Governor Jeff Landry says, quote, "Today we join 27 other states in passing constitutional carry. I promised the folks of Louisiana that I would champion constitutional carry into law, and within 2 weeks, I have honored that commitment," end quote. So now out in Louisiana, anyone 18 years of age or older is allowed to carry a concealed weapon without a permit or training. And South Carolina has also just passed that law, becoming the 29th state to also pass the law. So now while I was doing my research, I saw that Louisiana's governor just declared a state of emergency due to the shortage of police officers out there. And they actually believe constitutional carry will drive down crime, as they say, quote, "As armed, law-abiding Americans are better equipped to fend off criminals and defend themselves," end quote. They're saying that the shortage of police officers and that the fact that police officers are not the only ones that can, you know, help in the state. So they're believing that crime will go down now that this law has been passed. Speaking of foolishness, we have a story regarding former President Trump, who says one of his first acts, if elected or reelected to a second term, would be to, quote-unquote, free people convicted for their roles in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, whom Trump continues to claim are wrongfully imprisoned. The Department of Justice announced last week that to date, nearly 1,400 people have been arrested and charged in connection with the January 6th attack, with nearly 800 of them pleading guilty. Trump did not specify how many of the rioters he would pardon, though he said last year that "I'm inclined to pardon many of them. I can't say for every single one because a couple of them probably, they did go out of control." So of those charged, 127 are accused of using deadly or dangerous weapon or causing serious bodily injury to an officer. Again, according to the Department of Justice. Nearly 500 of the defendants have received prison sentences so far, though most of them who have been sentenced, they will be released by the time, God forbid, Trump is reelected into office. So, when Trump would return into the White House, they would already be free. But I'm just hoping that, you know, him saying things like this will just open people's eyes. Next, we have a story on the migrants. So data shows that almost no New York City migrant is or has accepted free plane or bus tickets after their shelter evictions. They say of the roughly 1,600 asylum seekers who flock to the city's East Village Intake Center each day, an average of just 30 have been willing to relocate to another city or state. According to data obtained from the city's Emergency Management Agency. So as we know, back in September, Mayor Eric Adams' administration cut the time that adult migrants can stay at a city-run shelter to just 30 days. As a result, hundreds of migrants have for months been flooding the intake center located at the former St. Bridget School on East 7th Street. Once there, the migrants can either reapply for taxpayer-funded temporary housing, which could see them sent to hotels upstate, or take up the offer of a free one-way bus or plane ticket. The data collected between December 7th and March 3rd showed that just 15% of migrants on average were able to secure another bed after trying to re-enter the shelter system. So only 15% of the 1,600 per day migrants who go to this relocation center are able to actually get another bed in a shelter. They are saying that so far the city has coughed up $7.6 million to reticket migrants out of the Big Apple since spring of 2022. This is according to a City Hall spokesperson. The top destinations, other parts of New York State, are Illinois, Texas, Florida, Colorado, Minnesota, Georgia, Virginia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. They are claiming that roughly 60%, or about 113,000 migrants, have already taken their quote-unquote next steps in their journey, which means that those asylum seekers are no longer in the city's care because they have either found a way to support themselves or they left using their own means. So they're claiming that 113,000 asylum seekers have been successful in that. But this is just crazy. So nobody's taking these tickets to go to a different city or state. Everybody's choosing to stay in New York. And in honor of Women's History Month, today we honor our former First Lady, Michelle Obama. As we know, Michelle Obama was the first African-American First Lady to be in the White House as she served the two terms alongside with her husband, former President Barack Obama. Former First Lady Michelle LaVon Robinson Obama is a lawyer, an author, a wife, a mother, and an activist, just to name a few things. Michelle earned a bachelor's degree in Princeton University and a Juris Doctor degree from Harvard Law School. As First Lady, Michelle Obama initiated the Let's Move program, aiming to end childhood obesity within a generation. Through it, elected officials, business leaders, educators, parents, and faith leaders worked together to provide more nutritious food in schools, bring healthy and affordable food into underserved communities. She has written numerous books, numerous award-winning books, including Becoming in November of 2018, and it became an instant bestseller. It was even adapted into a documentary on Netflix. 4 years later, the former First Lady released another book with Penguin Random House, The Light We Carry. So today we honor her for Women's History Month and all the great things that she has done and continues to do even outside of the White House. This has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Wow, thank you, Vivian. Thank you. You have definitely come back giving us something to talk about. My. Vivian will be staying on with us, as our lady Tamika just informed me that she will not be on with us today. Seems like everything is well, thank God. So we just pray that her day is well, and God spares, she'll be back with us next week. So let's get this conversation started as we have our Elder Nitesha, who has joined us. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, Viv. Good morning, Shantice, and all of our listeners.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great, thank you. I'm out here in Queens, so yeah, hanging out with the grandson. I'm good.
Oh, my. Must be running round. We talked about, Vivian talked about Michelle Obama. I'm sure you have lost a lot of weight running around with him. Ha! Oh, my.
Right. Oh, my.
You must look like you was on that program. Because I'm sure he's keeping you busy. Well, God bless. We're happy to hear that all is well. And we pray for his continued growth and progress and development. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we getting started off to a nice conversation as the people of Louisiana can get to carry without having to have a permit or training. And now they're fishing around for more cops, but they have no concern out there because they say that now that this law has passed, well, those people cannot pick up the slack. Woo! Elder Nitesha, how are we getting started this morning?
I mean, it sounds like lawlessness to me. It sounds like an episode of The Purge where now you can have a whole civilization who can arm and protect themselves recklessly, right? So without a permit. Permit enacts regulations and laws that are necessary, you know, for an individual and a responsibility for a person who's carrying a weapon. So when you say now that they can have this weapon with no permit and no training, then one, we're going backwards. Have we forgotten about the rise in mass shootings amongst our kids, how guns are getting into the hands of the mentally ill and unstable? And have we forgotten? And it's so interesting to me how we are so short-sighted with a thing. We can be up in arms one moment about something and start screaming for gun regulations, and then the next, we done forgot. We forgot about it, and now say, you know what? We ain't got enough cops. Let's just give all of the citizens of this community guns and have at it. Yeah, that's the purge. That's the purge.
Ooh, my goodness. Just makes you shiver. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. This is crazy. Let's say good morning to our girl, Shantice, and hear what she has to say about this madness. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Elder Nitesha, Vivian, everyone. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. I am well, thank you. Well, Elder Nitesha says it's the purge. Do you agree?
Absolutely. One who is all of them. That's all it is. I get to do what I want, when I want, for the reason. And that's the first thing that came to mind when I heard that. So we're just going to forget about all of the incidents. Last year, we pretty much spent talking about how lackadaisical a lot of these states have been with the gun laws because someone picked up a gun and did this, or someone left the gun and the infant was able to get to it, or someone shot the infant, or the toddler shot the infant, and all this craziness, the school shootings and all of that. And now, not only are you saying you don't need any training or credentials, but then you got into the age from 18. Because any age would have still been silly, but from 18 up, so I can go and buy cigarettes and a gun and just do it. Like, okay, so this is now officially another state, another location. Like they're saying, don't go to Jamaica, don't go here, don't go there, because crime is crazy. They need to add all those states to the list as well. Because who would feel comfortable, you know, going there like normal, knowing that any and everybody's walking around with a gun? And you're just now giving people a reason to act stupid, as if we needed a reason to act stupid. But if I didn't act stupid before, now I know I can just go get a gun. I'm not going to get a gun not to use it, carry it, not to pull it out, not to threaten somebody, not to. So now if I've never done these things before, now I have an incentive to do it. So thank you for introducing this to me. Thank you for telling me I can do this, because that's what you're doing. It's that is beyond silly.
Woo! Well, Vivian, please give me this name of this. I want to make sure I have this one who passed this law properly. What's his name, please?
Governor Jeff Landry.
I thought that's what you said. Okay. Okay, thank you. All right. You know, you don't comment when you're in the, you know, you're giving us the news. Now, here's your chance to talk about how you feel about the news you just delivered.
Both ladies said exactly what I was thinking when I was reading this. I was like, this sounds like this is a setup for the purge. So I'm allow everybody to have a gun. You ain't got to have no permit. You ain't got to have no training. We got the police, low staffed. This sounds like a setup for the purge. That's exactly what I was thinking. And then I was saying, so you got to be 21 years old to drink, but 18 years old to carry. That doesn't make any sense. With all these school shootings that have been happening as of lately, all these mass shootings that's going on just for the heck of it, why are we making it easier when we should be working on getting better gun laws so that these mass shootings can go down, can go away, happen less frequently? But instead, we're making it easier. And for him to sit there and celebrate this, like, yeah, I told y'all this is what I was going to do, and look, I did it. I kept my word. This is just crazy. Crazy to me. And they are actually calling this a victory. This is crazy. This is crazy. And this does not show that we are in our last and evil days. Lord have mercy. Wow, this is crazy.
I just looked up. There was an article that came out last year, May of 2023. Louisiana ranked worst state by U.S. news as violent crime surges.
Mm-hmm.
So this was your ranking, and the best thing you could do is come up with this. And the first thing I thought about was just let us kill ourselves off. Just let us kill ourselves. Just kill one another. Y'all just go ahead. And now y'all, I ain't even got to worry about putting y'all in jail, because y'all just going to kill each other. This here, the word setup has been used. The word crazy has been used. You know, they don't, you know, they have their issues. And, you know, the people on the other side of the fence, they have their issues. But we know that one of the things that we suffer with is definitely black-on-black crime. And what better way to let us just get rid of one another is to enable us to go ahead and kill one another. And, you know, I ain't got to worry about putting y'all in jail, because y'all will be dead. You know, there any lawmaker who has had one hearing of a school shooting definitely needs to lock this thing down. And that's the first thing that came to my mind. You know, with all these babies being killed over these years, nothing should have to tell you more to lock up all of these guns and things like that, and to think that you are now putting these guns in the hands of 18-year-olds who are extremely unstable. You're putting guns in hands of mentally ill people who, just by that category, you know, they're unstable. It's scary. It's scary. And, you know, like Vivian said, where's Pastor Kim? Because this is definitely the time when she would be saying, we are in our last and evil days. And this here, you know, is why we need the Lord. Because I tell you, there's no logic to this. And again, as has been said, the bragging of it. You know, this is what I was going to do. So, again, they don't care nothing about us. This is what we do. I ain't even got to worry about stressing myself. So I don't know. I don't know. It's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. And I would love to see, God spares, next year, this time, what their ranking will be. Because if they were last year the worst, what they going to be next year with free guns and guns that are able to be put in anyone's hands? All right. So who's worse than that? Trump, who says that if he gets back in office, he's going to free all the people, well, most people, who were found guilty and, you know, served sentences for the January 6th insurgents. And, you know, a lot of them will probably be out of jail because none of them are getting a whole lot of time. But just the thought that this is what he says he's going to do, Shantese.
I'm still trying to figure out how he's even eligible to talk about running for office again. How? And it's not shocking to hear that his plan is to free the people who he coerced into doing what they did. Of course I'm going to try to do that. I'm the reason why they were there. I'm the reason why they were trying to infringe on the White House. So of course I'm going to now free them. But I'm still trying to figure out how he's even allowed to talk about running. How, like, weren't you impeached? Weren't you kicked out? How is it that you get kicked out but you can now run to come back? I don't understand the system. You know, I've never, this is the most, being on this due time, this is the most I've ever spoken about anything that has to do with politics. But a lot of times, everything, regardless whether you have knowledge on, you know, that industry or that arena or anything, logic always plays a role in everything. And unfortunately, when you're talking about people or someone who doesn't have any logic, now you end up with scenarios like this.
Mm-mm. Vivian, Trump, back in office, freeing people already. Again, someone who already has a plan to do some craziness.
Like I said, I'm just hoping just talks himself out of the running, because he spent just the 4 years there. And look at all the charges that he is being charged with as we speak. Do you give him another 4 years? What is he going to do? He's already telling you exactly his plan. So I just hope that people are paying attention. I hope the right people are paying attention. The last I heard when I was in the doctor's office is that he was in the lead. So I just hope he starts talking too much and saying too much and
that the right people are paying attention and that, you know, that shift, because we do not need him back in office.
Eldon Aitisha.
I mean, it's beyond my understanding how someone who is so blatantly obnoxious, who goes against morale and humanity, can actually even be allowed for reelection. Now, this is outside of whatever legal ramification exists around a person who has been indicted. In prior elections, we have made big deals about whether or not a person being born in the United States made them eligible for candidacy. So if something like whether you were born here could pose an issue to whether or not you can be a candidate for presidency, how is it possible that a person who has been indicted and has felony charges against them is a suitable candidate for presidency? So before we can even dive into the ridiculousness of who he is as a person and the lack of humanity and the lack of sense, common sense, that he has at looking at an insurrection. I don't care what your stance is. Insurrection? Climbing up the walls of the UN? Like, really? This is what we're doing? And that he would want to pardon that type of behavior says to anybody who votes for him that kind of behavior is allowed. That we can go against the laws of the land when we feel like they don't line up with our political standards or our political expectations. We can take matters into our own hands. So, again, lawlessness. That's the thread between the first story and the second story, as far as I'm concerned. Lawlessness. We're entering into the phase of lawlessness. And I think it is going to be a very dark day if he actually does win the election.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just can't, you can't even imagine anything other than chaos, inhumane behavior. We had a comment regarding the last story. It says, and these gun laws are coming from folk who actually call themselves pro-life. And it's true. These are people who are looking at other laws and frowning on those laws, but yet you would do this craziness. You know, to think that you would be in the White House and all of this madness happen and you'd be fine with it. Because remember, he's been accused of, that's one of the reasons why he's been indicted, because he was accused of causing all of that insurrection. So, you know, now of course you're going to pardon all of these people, because these were your buddies. These were people who were in there fighting for your cause. These are the people that you incited to behave like this. So, of course, you're going to have to let your buddies out of there if you had your way. Because, see, now the goal is to get as many people to vote for you as possible. So all those people who were behind you in doing all of this, you know, those people are going to vote for you, hopefully. But I want to remind, you know, all of those who voted for him the first go-round, because all they wanted to do was not see a woman in. I will never forget, right after he got in, they had pictures and news stories and comments from the elderly people on the other side of the fence who had voted for him and thought that he was going to be on their side, and they didn't want to see Hillary up in there, and now they weren't getting Social Security benefits the same. All of these things were being threatened, you know, and they were shivering in their boots, and they were regretting voting for him. I hope all of these type things come back to their remembrance, because this here, him getting back in office, you better believe he's going for the jugular. He is going for the jugular because he's going to do everything that he can do to cause everybody hell. That's going to be his goal. That's going to be his goal. If you're not for him, you're going to live in hell. All the migrants, oh, y'all ain't going to have to worry about that no more. Oh yeah, this gonna be real, real scary. And the only thing I ever think about when I hear these stories is, this is a world who told and who is telling God, no thank you. And this is what happens. We get the no thank you response. So I don't know. I don't know. And that's why I keep saying, boy, these kids that are being raised now, I don't even want to know what the world is going to be like. I don't know. I don't know what the world is going to be like. But this is again, a bunch of madness. A bunch of madness. Oh, okay. Speaking of the migrants, you know, I caught this news story, too, where they said that, you know, these people are not opting to leave New York City. They don't care nothing about the overcrowded. They don't care nothing about anything. They don't care nothing about being put out in 30 and 60 days. They are not taking the offer. If I'm quoting Vivian correctly, 113,000 people have successfully moved on, but all the others have opted to stay in New York City. They're not going anywhere. Vivian, you've got first leg on this one.
I just don't understand it. I'm from here, and I don't want to be here. I don't understand it. I don't understand. What are you getting here? Like, y'all getting kicked out of these shelters in 30 days, 60 days if you have children, and most of them are living on the street. They're joining the unhoused on the train. They're having to resort to criminalistic activity. Y'all just becoming the delivery workers for DoorDash and all this other type of stuff. Like, I'm not understanding why are people fighting so hard to be here. I don't understand it. But I'm not surprised. I don't understand where this came from, that New York is the place to be, but I'm not surprised that they're not taking any tickets. And if they thought that they were going to be able to offer these people these tickets, these one-way tickets somewhere else, and that they were going to take it, they were sadly mistaken. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Elder Natisha, Vivian says, why are you here? What's the logic out of insisting you remain in New York City?
I mean, I think New York City has always been, right, the land, you know, of opportunity. It's the Big Apple. It's, you know, where, you know, there are tons of jobs because of all of the businesses that are in New York City. And so to send them to a slower paced city takes away their opportunity and, you know, and their ability to get jobs easy. And so I think that's really what it's about. I think that it really is about them still trying to figure out how to come here and grab hold of the American dream. And so when you're thinking about the American dream, you think about New York City, the Big Apple, and the possibility for the come up, you know, because of the availability of jobs, and the pay grade is different. So you can work at a hotel, like, you know, I have family members that work in hospitality. Working in the Hilton in downtown Midtown, New York,
even as, you know, a server or, you know, someone who just cleans the rooms, you get paid so much more money than you do even in Virginia. Because I have a friend who works in Virginia. She's the front desk manager, and she and the person who cleans the rooms here in New York are pretty much neck and neck.
Wow.
So I think, you know, for those jobs like that where it doesn't require much education in New York because of the cost of living, you can make more money, and so people don't want to leave that potential opportunity. And so it's unfortunate, but again, that goes back to the very beginning of why didn't we control, right? I mean, many will say, child, why are they here, period? But why didn't we control the influx of people coming into New York? The fact that we just let them all in, and now we're trying to say, hey, we'll give you a ticket to go somewhere else. They're like, no, we're okay. We were supposed to control it from we're supposed to be proactive and not reactive.
Ooh, Shanties. Why are they here, Vivian says. What are you staying here for?
That's what I was thinking. It must be bad beyond what we can imagine where they're from, because they came here thinking they were going to get one thing and didn't get that at all compared to their expectations and what they were anticipating. And now you're pretty much being told that there's only a certain amount of time before you can stay here in whatever shelter, and then you're out to fend for yourself. And now we're giving you a free ticket to go wherever, and you're like, no, I'm going to stay here. Stay here to do what? Stay here to fight for a bed? Stay here to, you know, fight for nothing? Because you're not getting anything. And it really has me thinking, like, well, how bad is it where you come from that you're willing to fight to stay here to get nothing? So it's like, I'd rather fight here to get nothing than to go back there and die. Like, is that the concept? Is that the mentality? You know, I'd rather stay and fight to stay here. I'm not getting anything right now, but maybe somehow I can set my child and my children up to get. You know, I don't, and again, we're hearing about how taxpayers' dollars are now funding things, and they just continue to put their foot in their mouth. Y'all could never, ever, ever, ever say New York doesn't have money. There is no way you could ever fix your lips, whether you would say that now or 30 years from now, God says. You could never say, well, there just isn't any money, because somehow there just seems to be money being pulled from everywhere to fund this, to fund nothing, to fund them getting nothing.
You know,
I mean, they're getting a lot, but they just, there, it doesn't last. And if I had the choice to go anywhere, I'm not choosing New York. New York's cost of living is the highest, 80% higher than anywhere else. You're paying an arm and a leg for a closet-sized apartment. I don't understand it. I'm not understanding it. If I had a choice to go anywhere, I would not choose New York. I don't know.
Right,
you know,
but as I say, it equals nothing.
It makes no sense to me.
And it's more than...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and they usually... I was going to just say, and they usually have more than just one person in the household. Like, there's usually,
right.
So I understand, I agree with you, Vivian, but they pack up the house. So by the time all of them, 10 of them in there paying, you know, $400 a month, that's how they're able to, you know, survive and pay those fees and save money at the same time. Pay that high cost of living and save money, because it'd be tons of them in the house.
Yep, and they build one another up. They build one another up. They make way for one another. So there's a plan here, a plan that we don't seem to have. Because, you know, okay, so in the beginning, when you were promised you could go to the United States, okay, that I'm sure they didn't say you want to go to New York. They said you want to go to the United States for free. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Just come on, get on the line. You could go. We ain't got to check your background. We ain't got to check whether you're healthy. We ain't got to check your education status. We ain't got to check your work status. You want to go? Come on, come on, come on. You go. Fine. Now you get an opportunity to go to New York. Now, here's the thing for me. If you could promise me the world, but it's like with being a man. This man promises you the world, ladies. And then when he actually has to show you whether he has the world or not, he flunks badly. And I'm going to say, it's all right, I'm going to stay here. I want another man. I know you got other men you offering. I know there are other men out there. I know there are men who are willing to take care of me. I know that there are men who, you know, who will love me and give me. But I'd rather stay here with this man. They are putting you out. You got 30 to 60 days, and you are gone. You got 60 days if you got kids. So that means when they put you out with your children, you have now experienced a bitter, cold winter. You still saying, I'm going to stay here and fend for myself? It's fine for you to sell me on, I'm going to go to New York, even though I already heard New York ain't all of that. But when I've experienced it, I ask the same question that Shantice asked. Well, how bad is it where you come from? Okay, so now I get an opportunity to get a free ticket to wherever I want to go. And again, I'm going to stay with this situation. Well, one of the reasons is because they will pile up and they will make it happen for one another. They don't mind living 60 in a room. We just got finished going through the story last week where the man was charging them. He was making $12,000 a month. But they ain't care, because I guarantee you there was a plan going on. They work together. They get Elder Natisha family out, and then everybody work together. They get Shanti's family out, and everybody work together. They get Viv's family out. That's the way they do. So they got a plan. They have a plan, and they're going to execute that plan. So this is one of the reasons why they're willing to stay. Because they don't mind working. They don't mind doing whatever it is they want to do. Listen, if that, Elder Natisha talked about how much they're paying to clean the hotels. If they were paying $2 to clean the hotels, they'd be working there. They don't care nothing about how much money. They want a job. So they don't care about the things that we care about. So this is why they're willing to stay. So, yeah, this is it sounds crazy to us. It is crazy to us. But yet, a person with a plan, nah. All they got to do is stay focused. And when they look up, they may not be living like the Rockefellers, but they're going to be comfortable. They're going to be comfortable, and that's all they worry about. That's all they're concerned about. Are they comfortable? So, you know, maybe if I was somebody with a plan and I had Pedro helping me build a house, then maybe I wouldn't care either. But, see, I'm Stephanie. Ain't nobody around me. They don't know how to build no house. They ain't willing to work for nothing. So I'm going to struggle differently than they're going to struggle. Their struggle is not our struggle. So this is why they look at things very differently than we do. So
can I just affirm?
Yes.
I just want to affirm what you're saying, Pastor Steph, because my daughter works in the shelter system as a case manager, working with this population, and she told me a story the other day. She said, "Mom," she said that there was a family in the shelter. She said when they got the money from the state that we would give them, they took it and bought food and built a stand in front of the shelter. And cooked the food in the shelter in their room, put the stand in front of the shelter, and sold that food and tripled the money that they got from the state and was able to, she said, Ma, she said the next week they had a car. Then the next week after that, she said, they went and bought a house.
Yeah.
He said they sold food to all the people in the shelter system. They went and bought the food, cooked it, sold it back to the shelter, to all the people in the shelter.
Wow.
And the next week they had a car, and the next week they went and bought them a house. You're right. They will work their tails off to do what they got to do. They have a plan.
Yep. They that's what I said. We don't have a plan. We struggling. We don't get, somebody bring you an idea. No, I can't live like that. No, or this one don't twist the toothpaste cap on properly, so we can't live together. This one don't put the toilet seat down. You know, Brother Al gonna take the whole toilet seat off. See, this how we live. This how we live. They don't care nothing about all that kind of stuff because they focused and they got their eye on the prize. We would never graduate like that. We would never graduate like that. So, yes, I'm glad that your daughter was there to witness this, because this is how they all flow from these countries. This is how they all flow. That's why I said that man who came up with that in that furniture store, he had $12,000 the few weeks ago. I think that's what Vivian's story. Who $12,000 in 1 month. Some people ain't care nothing about paying that money because they had a plan. So, yes, thank you, Elder Natisha, for just putting that stamp on it, because that's how they flow. Woo! Well, we're going to shout out to our girl, Michelle Obama, who 2 terms she and her husband served in the White House. They still don't have a negative word to say about her or him, and she has raised her 2 lovely, beautiful daughters. They have nothing to say about them, concrete. And, you know, shout out to her, who's done the thing. She's done her thing, helping our children in the school. I do remember her initiative for a healthier school food, getting those children moving and losing weight and being more conscientious about our children's health. So, yeah, you know, big up to her. Big up to her. Thank you, ladies, for indulging us on our socially conscious news. So I got a story for us to go with our topic this morning. So there's a TikTok story. You know, TikTok will keep you talking. They call these things the TikTok tales. So they have this TikTok tale of a woman whose boyfriend bet her a marriage proposal if she were to lose weight. So here's how the story goes. This particular woman had a boyfriend who told her that he would propose and marry her if she were to lose weight. So what she did, they said she started working toward her weight loss and her fiancé goals, and she started taking weight loss supplements. She implemented workouts, consistency, and a little faith. And now she is the smallest she's ever been. She says, "I always get what I want." And she worked toward this particular goal so that he would propose. He did. And they have pictures of them at their wedding. They have pictures of them and the wedding party. So the person who told the story, she asks the question, "Would y'all have lost weight to get married? Or does he have to accept you the way you are?" So you had some people who wrote in, and their responses were, "If he can't marry me at my biggest, I don't need him at my smallest. She should have lost the weight and broke up with him too. Girl, leave him, 'cause Then you had the flip side of those responses, and they said, if y'all think she should have left him, y'all not ready for a man who wants a long, healthy life and fam with you, but let me go. Another comment, I'm not even going to lie, I'd lose the weight, and obviously it didn't upset her, it motivated her, and she ate. And lastly, you have, I like that he did that instead of leaving her. So you've got some, you know, who have agreed that, you know, this was something that she should have pursued, considering that she had that offer. And then you had others that said, kick him to the curb because he didn't went too far. Elder Nitesha, you got the first leg on this one. Which side of the fence are you on?
My mind first went to, it really just depends on the nature of the conversation or the dynamic between the two of them, right, which is really what we don't know. I think people are making, again, that's the problem with social media and all of these places, is that you put up a story, people don't know the full dynamic or the full story, and they're able to just speak into it. I think it depends on the dynamic between the two. If she was someone who kept complaining about her weight, saying, I want to lose weight, but she couldn't find the motivation. And then as a partner, he gave her the motivation by saying, all right, well, listen, here's what we'll do. When you lose 30 pounds, lose 50 pounds, then I'll propose. And that gave her the motivation and the determination. It gave her something to work towards. Some people, they don't have the motivation unless they have something to work toward. So it may, whether it is that I want to fit into these jeans, or whether it is I want a proposal, or I want to be ready for my vacation to Paris, right? Like, so they're usually, sometimes you have those individuals who need something. So if that was the dynamic, then I think that was him functioning as a partner. But if the dynamic was a ultimatum, then that's a different story, because now he doesn't serve to be someone who just loves you for you. He's all about the aesthetic of you. And when you got with me, you knew what it was. And so now to give me an ultimatum to say, I'm not going to marry you unless you lose this weight, I think paints a different story. And I think she would be better off without him in the long term, because it's about the aesthetic and not who she is as a person. So I think it depends on the dynamic between the two of them.
Okay. Shantese, what you got?
Yeah. I agree with Elder Natisha. I think a lot of it has to do with, it doesn't sound negative if, again, I'm the one that's saying these are my goals, but for whatever reason, I'm just being lazy, or I'll start and not finish. And you as my partner are like, okay, well, you keep talking to me about this, so you're either going to do it or you're going to be quiet. You know, but I think a lot of, I think there's still a very thin line between I want to do this for myself versus I want to do this to keep, you know, this relationship, or to keep this person, or to obtain this, so now this person looks at me as, you know, such and such. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, you being with someone and, you know, they're saying, okay, well, you know, you're saying this, I'm saying this, and I think that's, you know, a pretty good goal, but I'm just here to support. Whatever pace you have, as long as it's not jeopardizing your health, you know, or anything like that, whatever pace you got going on, I'm just here to be of support. But I think there's still a very thin line between I want to do this for me versus I just have to make sure that I'm doing this in order to keep, because if I...
All righty. Okay, we got suddenly cut off, but I think she was near to finishing. Vivian, what's your thought?
I think that to dangle marriage as a motivational tool for anything was wrong. If you wanted to support her and motivate her, I think he could have definitely found something else, maybe a trip if that's how she works, that you need, you know, some external motivation for you to push and lose this weight, then let's, you know, find something, you know, I'll take you on your dream trip or something like that. But for it to be marriage is concerning to me. And the first thing that came to my mind is what happens now that they're married and she gains it back. If she gets pregnant and she gains a whole lot of weight and can't lose it or won't lose it. So you had that motivation of marriage, and now anything can happen to where you gain this weight back, and now to find out the next type of motivation for you to lose this weight. So what happens if you can't find the right thing? Now she done got the marriage. She done got what she wanted. So what happens then? That's what came to my mind. I don't think marriage was the right thing, the right tool. I don't think it should have been a tool used to motivate her to lose weight. It does paint a very negative picture for the start of your marriage. And it does raise those type of questions. So I wouldn't have went there myself.
Okay. Well, I came across a list where it says, you know, there's men have spoken, and they have given a list of women that they do not want to marry. So whether this thing was for motivational purposes for her or motivational purposes for him, let's see if that comes up on this list, because I didn't look past the first item. So let's see if that comes up on this list for some other men. So there's a list of women that I don't want to marry, and one of the first things is the Miss Playing Games with My Heart woman. Shantese, he doesn't want to marry that kind of woman.
He doesn't want to marry the type of woman who one second she wants him, the next second she doesn't. Or she only wants him if he has this. But if he doesn't look like he has that, then I'm good off you. So now you're playing with my heart, because I'm showing you that you're who I want, because I want to be with you, but you want to be with my circumstances, or you want to be with my money, or you want to be with my status. So now you're playing with my heart.
Okay. Vivian, he says he does not want to miss playing games with my heart.
And you shouldn't. You're not, like, most times people get married, you're too old to be playing games. Like, say what it is. You know, if you want to be here. If you don't, you don't. Like, don't. We're too old for the game. So I would agree with that. You know, don't marry somebody who's playing games who can't, you know, be mature enough to tell you what it is that they want or don't want, and just be real with it.
Okay. Elder Natisha, Miss Playing Games with My Heart, I don't want her.
And I agree with both Vivian and Shantese that you shouldn't. I don't think that. I think just as women have a standard, I think men should have a standard as well. I think the key word in here is playing. I think if we're thinking about, you know, what some of the necessities are for, you know, getting into a relationship or taking it to the next level, it certainly isn't with someone who's playing. Because what they playing? What kind of games are they playing? What they looking for? They're unstable. They're unable to be serious. And so I think the key word in here is, I don't want a woman who's playing with my heart, playing with my money, playing. I don't want you playing, period. Because you playing can cause us to not get nowhere. So the fact that you're still playing, I'm good.
Okay. He says, they say, I don't want the miss. I want to change you. Vivian.
I say that's a slippery one, because in a relationship, you should make each other better. And a lot of the times, at least in my experience, the I don't want to change in me is, you know, I'm good with the way that I am, and you need to just accept me for the way that I am, whether it's good or bad. So I don't know about that one. That one's a little tricky. You should be bettering each other.
Okay, okay. Miss, I don't want to change you, Elder Natisha.
I don't think that anyone should go into a relationship with a person with the thought process that I want them to change, or I'm going to change them. That means that that's just not the person for you, and you are settling for something with the pressure added to the relationship that who they are currently in their situation, who they currently are, is not what you want. So then why be in that relationship? I don't think that anyone should enter into a relationship with the idea that I'm going to change you. That's pressure on a relationship, unnecessary pressure. Like Vivian said, I think being in the relationship, what you learn is that some of the clashes that the two people can have, it allows for you to better yourself, and as a result, you change, you desire to change because you're able to see yourself. Nothing reflects you better than actually being in relationship with another person that allows you to see the truth of who you are, and so change will happen as a result of that. But not you coming into the relationship telling us, yeah, I'm going to change you. No, I'm not for you, period. You need to find somebody who you ain't got to change off the bat. That's pressure. Mm, that's too much pressure.
She said that's too much pressure. Oh, my. Shanti, the Miss I Want to Change You, how should he feel about that?
I agree. You shouldn't want to be with anyone who wants to change you. And I keep telling men especially, I don't love nobody that much to want to change you. You know how much energy that takes? No. If we get into this relationship and I see that you don't want to change because you don't, if you can't see how you could be better and you're not willing to put that energy in and you don't love yourself, but you expect me who love you more than you love you, and now I'm going to put the effort into changing you? Absolutely not. Like Elder Natisha said, we are not the people for each other, and we just need to end this and wait for the next person who is willing to change what they see. Because, yes, everyone, there's something you're going to have to change, especially, you know, you can't be this way with everybody. So if I'm in a relationship with John, I can't be that same way when I'm in a relationship with Mike. It doesn't mean I'm not myself, but you conform to who you're with. And the same thing as men, you know, you conform to who you're with. As far as changing, that's just way too much effort that has to be put in, way too much attentiveness, way too much, like my teacher said, just way too much pressure. Not everybody's either an alcoholic or somebody on drugs, or now you got abuse and all that. It's just too much. It's too much, no. If we can't see how we're going to change for ourselves so we can now contribute to a better relationship, then this relationship just has to be null and void.
Mm-hmm. All righty now. The Miss Suspiciously Jealous, Elder Natisha. They say, I don't want that woman. I don't want to marry her.
And you know what? And you shouldn't. And here's why. One of the things that was a journey for me as I began to deal with my brokenness was looking at how jealousy and envy really came from a broken place. It came from the idea that I'm not enough. Like, that's an inside job. And so I think if you have a person who is functioning in a way that causes you to feel uncomfortable, and when you discuss it with them, there is no, like we just said, change. If there's no change in regards to, I don't like the way you move. I don't like the way you move. And so, you know, if we're going to be in a relationship, then I'm going to need you to move a little differently because I'm concerned about your movements. And if that is not something that you're willing to do, then it is time for, you know, again, to reassess that relationship. But I do think that ultimately that's an inside job that stems. Jealousy and envy come from something within, not that a person can make you jealous.
Now, their movement can cause you to feel uncomfortable, and you'd be like, are you really who you say you are? Are you really ready to be serious? Are you really faithful? Are you still playing games, right? So it can cause us to side-eye you and look and say, hey, what's going on here? But jealousy, in terms of the root of where that stems from, and envy and where that stems from, that's an inside job.
All righty. Shantice, he said he does not want to marry Miss Suspiciously Jealous.
Absolutely not, because she will forever be going through your things, snooping, accusing. No one gets any rest or peace of mind because she finds suspicion in everything because she's jealous. And who can now have a peace of mind when they're coupled up and linked to someone like that? Especially like a jealous woman. Like, a jealous man is horrible enough. When you got a jealous woman, there's just no limitations as to where she goes, what she does, who she talks to. She'll end up having lunch with your boss to find out what time you really begin to work. It just becomes too much. Like, it's just like she done made a full-time job out of figuring your life routine out. It's just, no. So now no one has any level of sanity because she's jealous. Absolutely not. Cut her off.
Viv, Miss Suspiciously Jealous. He does not want to marry her. Should he?
No, absolutely not. I was thinking with Elder Natisha was thinking that that's a sign of something that's unhealed. Whether you're suspiciously jealous because of past relationships and hurts and you need to be healed from that, or you're jealous because of what this current person has done, you need to be healed from that and forgive. Either way, that's a sign of some healing that needs to be taken place that has not, and you don't need to marry into that. And the Bible says something about it's better to live on the top of a roof or in a house, a leaky house, than to be with a quarrelsome woman. But to be with a jealous and suspicious woman, woo child. I can only imagine the things that a woman will go through to figure out these suspicions she has or to prove herself right. Don't do it to yourself.
Well, he also says he will not marry a Miss I Live For You and I Have Nothing Else Going On woman. Shantice.
Again, because she'll make a full-time job out of learning your life. No man wants a clingy woman, because there's nothing good that comes out of a woman who does not have her own life agenda, her own goals and aspirations, her own, you know, everything is, what are we doing? You know, no, it's just way too much. It's a strain. Like, what are we eating for breakfast? Where are we going? What time we got to be to work? What time we going to hang out with the boys? What time without, right? No, like, you have to have your own, you know, and it's, like, crazy because I remember I used to get teased a lot, especially by one of my sisters. It's like, oh, Shantice has a boyfriend. Like, they're always together. We're always together. But there's still a time where it's just like, I kind of want to forget that you exist, right? Because I just need, like, my own time to, like, brush my teeth. You know, maybe it's something I want to watch TV with, and I don't want to have to look over and say, do you want to watch this? No, I don't care what you want to watch. I just want to watch what I want to watch. You know, but when you have someone who doesn't have anything going on for herself, it's bad. And again, things just seem so much worse when it comes from the woman, because we know of a lot of men who ain't got nothing going on for themselves. But when there's a woman who doesn't have anything going on for herself, it's just like a different type of clinginess that's like psychotic. And it's just now nobody, now it's just not you now, you nor your family can shake her because she's involved in everything, because everything is, what are we doing? No. Cut her off.
Okay, that's two cut off. Vivian, she says cut off. If she is that Miss I Live For You and I Have Nothing Else Going On woman.
I agree. You can want to marry into that, because if she don't have anything going for herself, then you're not going to be able to have nothing going for yourself, because then you'll get the envy and the jealousy and the clinginess and the whining. So you don't want that. Excuse me. You don't want that for yourself. If she doesn't have anything for herself, that stops you a lot of the time from having anything going for yourself, whether it's fun or professional. She's going to try to stop it because she wants all your time and all your attention. So don't do that to yourself.
All righty, Elda Natisha, you got two young ladies over there, and I'm sure you didn't taught them not to be the Miss I Live For You and I Have Nothing Else Going On woman.
Maybe too far to the other side. I may have too far to the other side. But, you know, I was sitting here literally getting nauseous just at the thought of what we doing, what we eating. When
yeah, well, right?
It's so funny because my mother-in-law the other night, she called me and she said, are you and Greg, you know, how you and Greg doing? Are y'all okay? And I said, yeah, Ma, we good. And she said, you know, because just all of this travel, like, do y'all get to see each other? Because aren't you gone, like half the year, so, you know.
Wow.
So I said, you know, Ma, it works for us. It gives us something to talk about, right? We are able to build together. We're able, like the idea of, because what we doing, where we going, it doesn't leave room for the two of you to have experiences to come back to talk about. Greg just came, like, I flew out on Sunday. He was flying back in on Sunday. And so, yes, we can be like two ships passing in the night sometime. But we're talking multiple times a day. And, in fact, we are more intentional and more attentive to one another because we are away. So he's calling me, good morning, I love you, good night, I love you, all of the things. That if I was just sitting up in his face 24/7, I promise you I would not get all of that love and affection. I'm waking up rolling over, oh, I just love you. I would not get that. And I certainly wouldn't get, ooh, I love you at the end of the day. But because we are apart and we leave room for one another to still be individuals, I think it is so important, young ladies, that you leave room to still be an individual, to still explore your dreams, hopes, and desires, because they come together. God brings them together so that they can work to build his kingdom ultimately and to build family and to build legacy. And so I think it is something so beautiful about space and allowing, even in the marriage, the opportunity for you to still be, God gives space for you to still be an individual and your identity not being lost in another person because you just love them so much. I absolutely love my husband, but I'm good. I'm good. I don't need to be seeing him all the time.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. He says he does not want to marry I have daddy issues, Vivian. Are you talking to the mute button, Viv?
Yes, I was. I was saying don't do it. Some healing that needs to take place before the marriage. And a lot of times you don't even realize how a lot of your issues are tied to your daddy issues. It'd be things that you wouldn't even think will go hand in hand that stems from daddy issues. So if you know she has daddy issues, let her take care of that. Let her go be healed from that. Let her go seek some counseling and take care of that first before bringing that into the marriage, having children, because then you're passing those on to your kids. You're taking it out on your husband. Don't do it. Don't do it.
All righty. Elder Nitesha, Daddy Issues. He does not want to marry Miss Daddy Issues.
Yeah, I don't think he should, because it shows itself, and sometimes, you know what, it doesn't show itself until you are in a relationship, because then you have these triggers and these reactions, and you respond to things in a way that you didn't intend to, but because there is a soft spot that already exists, and you've, you know, left over from some places where your father may have hurt you. And if he happens to resemble that action, to look like that action, to touch on that spot, then it'll cause you to respond in a way that just isn't healthy for a successful relationship. So, yeah, I don't think that a man should want to marry a woman who has daddy issues. It's like a ticking time bomb. You don't know what place to step on that can cause an explosion.
All righty. We're going to lose Viv. Thank you so much, Vivian, for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. Have a good day, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They say, the men say, they don't want to marry. I have daddy issues. Miss, I have daddy issues. What say you?
Absolutely not, because then he ends up having issues with your daddy, too. Everybody got your daddy issues.
Oh, my God.
Because everything is you pushing your issues into everything. You know, and women don't understand a lot of times, whether you realize it or not, even if you realize that you have daddy issues, you really try to convince yourself that it has nothing to do with your decision-making in the relationship. It has nothing to do with the things that you push in the relationship, how sensitive you are to certain things, or how short-tempered you are with certain things. So now you're just helping everybody to have a problem with your daddy. You know, cut off.
We're going to turn this into the cut it off show. All right. He says he does not want to marry the miss. I speak to my mother 5 times a day about everything. Woman, whew, that was a mouthful. Elder Nitesha.
That he doesn't want to, say that for me one more time.
He doesn't want to marry the miss. I speak to my mother 5 times a day about everything, woman.
Oh, yeah. That's hard. Oh, man, that's hard because, you know, once your daughter becomes an adult, especially navigating relationships, mom becomes her best friend. However, here's what I will say. Mom doesn't need to know everything, because you and him will rebound and y'all will fix things and y'all will understand, you know, what happened in that moment. But mom will still be tight over what you said to her child. She'll be tight over what you did to her child, because she understands the implications. Then she'll also have her own experiences with a particular thing. And then she actually puts on you, you know, what can actually cause more damage to the relationship. And so, yeah, I think, yeah, it's hard because adult daughters and their moms become best friends at a certain age. But I do think that daughter has to learn how to just deal in her relationship herself. And mom can't know everything, because mom won't recover as quickly as you can, because you love him. Mom, she going to like him because you love him, but you the one loving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you got to share with them.
Yes. Shantice. No, miss, I speak to my mother 5 times a day about everything, woman.
No, I love my mom. You do have to make sure you're being very careful. And see, you do have to make sure you're not talking to, you know, your mother about everything, because at the end of the day, that's still your relationship. I just tend I happen to have the type of mother where she'll tell him to cut me off. So there are a lot of things that she'd be like, wait, she did what? Oh, okay, so stop dealing with her. No, go find somebody else. She's stupid. She acts like she don't know what she's doing. All right, no, you might as well leave her alone. Okay. And very, 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 very few mothers will do that with their children, whether it's a child or an adult child. But you still want to make sure that you're holding a respectful level of confidentiality within your relationship, because it's still your relationship. So I know there were plenty of times I've gone to talk to my mother about something, and right as I'm going to pick up the phone or to go upstairs or something, and I'll just get the feeling like, don't say anything. And it's like, oh, okay, whatever. And it's not just, oh, because I got to tell her what he did. You know, a lot, some of the times it was something that I did or said wrong, you know, but it's just, you know, just leave it alone, because it's a double dynamic I have there. It's my mother and my pastor. So sometimes it's, you know, it's really difficult at times to now refrain from saying something, but, you know, also being considerate to the other person, you know, even though all of my exes just seem to develop their own relationship with Pastor Steph to the point where I cuss you out, but I come home and you're here talking to my mother like, I want to see you. But you still have to make sure that you're being respectful enough to show him that regardless of who it is, it's just us at the end of the day. It's just you and I here. So we're going to have to be considerate enough to figure this out with each other so that I don't feel like I have to go tell my mother or talk to my mother. No, you just got to be real careful about that.
Okay, all right. We got time for one more. The Miss, I shouldn't really be saying this, but he doesn't want to marry that woman. Not Elder Natisha.
I don't understand it. I shouldn't be really saying this, but like talking their business out to others.
A gossip.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, I think that's a trait that is untrustworthy. Gossipers have traits that I find to be untrustworthy, because if you gossip, about another person to me, then I really can, you know, rest assured that you are gossiping about me to others. So if I come into one area where I feel comfortable because we're a particular, you know, group of friends, and even if I feel like it's not going to go anywhere, there's still just the integrity of an individual that says, I'm not going to carry information from one group to another group and vice versa. And so I just think that that's a very untrustworthy trait that is very unbecoming. And while you thinking that your man is, is your friend and he cool with it, he looking at you like, girl, if you and your girls talked about that, why are you coming back here telling me? So then if you coming back here telling me what you and your girls talked about, then that means that you're telling your girls what me and you got going on or what we talk about. So I think it's just an untrustworthy trait. And he shouldn't want to be with a woman like that.
Okay. Shantice, he doesn't want to miss gossip. Let's put it like that.
Absolutely. You don't want someone, again, men don't want to hear all that. They don't care about who your girlfriend cheated on her boyfriend with and what's going on in your family. Like, he could care less. So now you just sound like someone who's just chattering all the time. And like Elvin Atisha said, then, you know, the question would eventually pop in his head, well, what are you telling your people about me? Especially when he know he get on your nerves. So now it's like, oh, well, I know what you're telling so-and-so. What I did and said yesterday or last night or whatever, because you're just so quick to now come to him and talk to him about, and if no one has ever watched the episode of Everybody Hates Chris when the wife is doing this to the husband, please pull it up, because that is the epitome of the husband really not caring and it really getting to him. and you just see how it just sounds like nagging. Even though you're not complaining to him about him, all he hears is just whining and nagging. And now you sound like the woman you were supposed to break up with a few minutes ago who ain't got nothing going on for herself. Because if you've got a whole lot going on for you, and even if, you know, y'all just happen to be home and, you know, it's wind down time, you just have to say, yo, you know what, I just found out something. You know, even though that's still a form of gossip, you know, it's not as often and as intense when you really have a full day worth of things to do. You know, you then stop caring as much about what other people are doing or not doing. So you just have to really make sure you're not putting yourself on the chopping block, because all you want to do is run to him and tell him as if you're watching a soap opera the latest gossip in your family or at your job or within your girlfriend's circle. Because he really doesn't care.
All right, all right. Ooh, we got some others here. And maybe what we'll do is, if we got enough, we'll carry this on. God spares to next week, because this has been really, really good. I want to thank you ladies for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. Have
you
a blessed day, ladies.
You.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's take this time to go before the Lord. We've gotten some really good, I mean, we got some good stuff here today. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come before you and we say thank you because you are always so good. You leave no stone unturned. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just allowing us into your day. We thank you, God, for just touching on our minds, that we can be able to deliver your message clearly, God. And if we heard anything today, we heard remnants of you. We heard remnants of experience. We heard remnants of facts and experience and just words from you, guidance from you, lessons that have been learned. And we say thank you, God, that this could now be a topic that we speak about clearly without being partial to women. For, you know, we didn't take the time to excuse the ladies. And, you know, we just thank you for that, God, because everybody's not at that point and at that stage in their life. And we are here each day to give your word, not to give our word. It's not about us. It's about you. And we enjoy you as you allow us to enjoy this process that we go through. It's not grueling. It doesn't hurt. But it's done with joy because you've made it joyful. Thank you for allowing us to just get up each day and just invest as we are being invested into. Thank you, Father. You're such a well-rounded, loving God. I marvel at you each and every day as to how great, big, and wonderful you are. We ask you to just continue to help us grow, God, to help us be able to go through this walk and come out learning, growing, and again, being able to minister from just fact, from just your word, from just your will and your way, the things you have for us, not the way we hope it would be, not the way we're angry that it's not, but you just continue to just pour into us, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be able to share. Thank you for allowing us to grow, helping us to grow. Oh, we weren't here 5 minutes ago. But because of who you are, we can say that we are not who we were yesterday. We may not be where we should be, but we're grateful to you, God, because you continue to push. Sometimes you even drag. We thank you for those moments as well. We give you the glory and the honor, God, and we pray that each of us have a spectacular, wow, Wednesday in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As the ladies were talking, I was reflecting each time on my own thoughts, my own experiences. You know, when I looked at the title, it says, these are the women men do not want to marry. And, you know, as you talk to women, you know, a lot of times, you know, women are, I'm here. You know, all the things that they have gone through, all the things that they have been told, all the things that they have seen, all the things that they have heard, kind of gets rolled up into one big cluster. And now that's what you're getting. That's what the man is getting, especially experience. And as I'm listening to the ladies talk, you know, I'm giggling and I'm, you know, just thinking about just the intensity of what a man sees and hears. Men are very different than women, very, very different than women. And a lot of things that we, you know, make light of, or it's just second nature. They just don't want to have nothing to do with. And when, you know, we looked at the very beginning scenario of, you know, does, you know, should she have taken the bet? Because that's what it was. It was a bet. He bet her that if, you know, she lose weight, he would marry her. And I guess if she didn't, he wouldn't. And, you know, I wasn't on either side of the fence, and I was kind of amused at myself, you know, because I am very opinionated at times, and because of my own experiences and because of what the Word of God says, you know, I do stand on that, and I'm like, nah. But I actually read it, and when I read both sides of what the women were saying, I actually didn't have a side that I fell on, because I realized that I think it needs to be an individual thing. You know, would it be me? No. Would it be me? No. But for her, maybe, you know, it was a little different. Maybe, you know, as was said, she needed some level of motivation. I do agree with Vivian. I don't think that marriage should have been the carrot that was dangled. I think that's what possibly sheds a different light on it. Now, maybe some people might say, what difference does it make? But I think marriage kind of puts a different spin on it, because how many women out here don't want to be married? And how many men have dangled the carrot of marriage in a woman's face? And it doesn't necessarily have to be for weight, but it could be for anything else, having kids or starting a family or whatever, status, you know, many things. So I think that's where it kind of makes it a little, you know, hard to swallow. And, you know, from both sides, and saying, you know, well, yeah, you let him dangle the carrot in front of you of marriage, and, you know, so you were so thirsty to get married. But I actually, you know, kind of was in the middle, because I was like, you know what, for me it might be one thing, but for her, I don't know. I don't know what kind of conversation they had. I was kind of with Elder Natisha and Shantice, but I hadn't thought about it like that. I just came out in, you know, neutral, but until they started speaking that I actually realized that that's what it was. It has to be an individual thing, and maybe based on what she's been through, what they've talked about, how long they were together, what kind of conversations they had. The same thing they said is kind of what I thought. I'm like, well, who knows? Who knows what's going on over there? That maybe this was the way to go. She ended up saying that this was the thinnest that she has ever been. She's very happy with the way she looks. And she got a man, so I guess it worked out for her. But when we went the extra step and we talked about all the women that the men listed that they just were not interested in marrying, I think you ladies need to pay attention. I think these ladies, they did an excellent job relaying these points. I think they did an excellent job relaying from God's perspective on a very practical side, you know, playing games with his heart. What does that mean? You know, I want to change you. What does that mean? You know, suspiciously jealous. What does that mean? You know, I live for you and I have nothing else going on. What does that mean? You know, what does that mean, first of all, to God? You know my tagline. What does God say? What does that mean for him and what does that mean for you? You know, a lot of times we go into these relationships and we're dragging so much baggage into these relationships. And these men get the brunt of what you've experienced. Very few people, and that's women and men, go into a relationship just neutral. You know, we talked the other day about, you know, respect. When you go into a relationship, you know, do you automatically give respect? And I don't see anything in the Bible that says you are not supposed to. Why should he not get the respect that he deserves because of how you've been disrespected by the past men in your life? The Bible says we're supposed to outdo one another with love. That's respect in the whole nine yards. So a lot of these things that we were talking about here today, the ladies, you know, talked about, that's your issue. I want to change you. No. If you meet somebody that you got to change, that ain't for you. Like the lady said, go on, move about your business. And, you know, maybe you have not been found. Maybe you out there searching, and because you didn't put the cart before the horse, and now you out here trying to change people opposed to God, changing them, you here. We're all supposed to invest in that other person's life. We talked, actually, the reason why I'm bringing that up is because we talked about this the other day, you know, that want to change you. You know, it's also the way it's being perceived. You know, if you walking in with this, well, you know what, I don't like the way you dress. I don't like, you know, the way you do this. I don't like the way you talk. You know, you need to change that. I don't like that. You need to change that. I like, you know, we need to change that. We need to. Then go ahead. Let him go, and you go about your business. Because all that time you're investing in changing him, how many things you got to change? That's the one of the things you have to change. So, you know, we have to be real careful about how we move forward. What are we allowing God to do? What is God telling us to do? He does not want a woman like this. Then we need to think about all the reasons why we might be like this. A woman with daddy issues. Are you ready to be in a relationship at all? Period. So now you're issuing out all of this to a man. You know, I laugh at Shantice a lot when she talks because of the way she phrases things. And I've always been a very impartial mother. I'm not siding with nobody. And as a matter of fact, I have not just told her friend, but the other one's friend I've told too. You know what? If she all of that, then you need to go ahead and leave her alone. Because she ain't for you. She ain't for you. That ain't who God wants for you. That is not who God wants for you. So go ahead. You go east, she go west, and go ahead and be about your business. But how many people have that? How many people have that mom who they tell everything to? And like Elder Natisha said, oh, now mom giving hell. Because she, you know, your father was like that, and I had to let him go. Or I didn't have to let a whole lot of them go. And that might be the one who God has for you. But because you kind of digging up in her soil, oh, boy, pay attention. That's how I'm going to end this. I'm going to end this by telling you, please pay attention to the things that the ladies have said to you today. It's been an amazing journey just listening to them. Just listening to them. Very little that I had to come back and say behind them, and very little I felt I wanted to add, but just had to close and say something. Pay attention. If you need to go back and listen, do so. They did an excellent job relaying what God would want you to be like. We're talking about you today. We're not talking about him. We're talking about the women that he does not want to marry. Clean yourself up. But guess what? The only way you're going to really do that is lay yourself on the altar and allow God to clean you up. Let God do his part. You do your part. And then you'll be that woman that can be found by that good man. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. The ladies have done an excellent job yet again. Please do not miss this opportunity to get your life together and give your life to the Lord right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship with the Lord, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares where it's Therapeutic Thursday. Until then, I love you.